Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, and saith the Lord, for thou, because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in this blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee and thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, verse 18, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Quickly go with me to Philippians 2 and 7. A lot of word today, but this is what we need in our spirits. Philippians 2, 7. But made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I simply want to title this, Trust and Obey. And I'm going to bring in some thoughts surrounding the blessings of obedience. For all of your seed, Abraham, will be blessed because of your obedience and not withholding your only son, Isaac. You were willing to offer him as a sacrifice. That is quite a story right there. And I think that oftentimes we don't really grasp it. But let me tell you, this was his promised son. This was the son that God said, I'm going to give you, and it is going to be a miracle. God said it would come to pass, and it did. Praise God. That ought to make us happy today. That ought to get us excited. If God's given you a word or a promise, you can take it to the bank and be sure that it is going to pay dividends. It's going to pay off when you put your trust in the promises of God. All the promises of God are yea and altogether amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want you to get this setting that God was speaking to Abraham. God knew his heart before he ever set forth to go and make sacrifice. He knew that he was going to obey him. But I want you to grasp what God was after in Abraham. God was looking for something in the life of this great man of God that is oftentimes overlooked, especially in the generation that we live in of Christians. God is wanting us to trust and obey him. This is one of the most difficult things for all of us as believers, because God oftentimes will put us in circumstances and in situations that seem impossible, that seem very difficult, that almost seem like, I cannot do this, I can't follow through with this. But brothers and sisters, with the help of God today, I want to give you this word to put faith in your heart, to understand that there is no other way. When God speaks, God gives a commandment to us, we must trust him, amen, and obey that word. And brothers and sisters, as hard as it may be, let me tell you, there are blessings for obeying God. It will be worth it all in the end when we look back and we see that, yeah, the road got rough, it was very difficult, it looked impossible, but God was faithful and I was able to obey him. And through that obedience, not only will you be blessed, but your children and your children's children and your grandchildren will be blessed because of your obedience unto the Lord. God wants us to obey him. I'm going to go through simply three quick points. I hope that you'll leave full today with a word in your heart that gives you a faith to know that there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey him. First of all, we see in this story the test. The Bible says in Genesis 22:2, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou what? Lovest. Amen. I want you to get that. I think we read over that. Thy only son, thy promised son, the one that is the miracle son. How many of us are willing to give up our only? It's one thing to say, I'll do it, but it's another thing to actually be put in a position where God says, I want your only son. I want something that you desperately so wanted. What is God wanting from us? What is God desiring from you in your personal life? It's one thing to give God lip service and say, I'll obey you, whatever you want me to do, especially when people are in desperate situations or their life is at stake or they're in danger. God, I'll do whatever it takes. What is God requiring of you today? In this story of Abraham, God is saying, I want your only son, your promised son. I want this son. What is God after in our life? Amen. Is there something God is wanting out of you? The three points that I want to cover today is understanding what the test is for. God said, take now thy only son. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 22 of Genesis, he said, and he tempted him. He tested him and said, take him to the mountain of Moriah. I'm going to show you what mountain that is. And I want you to offer up your son. Now, he's not an infant. Some scholars say he's between the ages of 13 to 20-something years old. Isaac was not a little boy that just did whatever his daddy told him, though he was an obedient son. I'm talking he was probably a full-grown young man. And he was willing to do whatever his father wanted him to do. Matter of fact, brothers and sisters, we understand that God began to speak to him. And in 3 days, he says, he's seen the place. Amen. He's seen the mountain that God wanted him to make sacrifice. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. God sent his only begotten son down here up on this earth. And he died an awful death up on a hill called Golgotha. It was a mountain. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. This is a foreshadow of showing us the plan of God for Calvary, how that he would send Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to die upon an old rugged cross and be sacrificed for the sins of all of humanity. Isaac is a picture or a type of Jesus Christ. that was offered as a sacrifice to God. God is wanting us to make some sacrifices in our life. What is God wanting out of you? We need to first understand that God will try us. He will try you to see if you will obey Him. God will examine us. The Bible says in Psalm 26 and verse 2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, O God. See what's in my heart. See if I am real. See if the faith that I have is genuine, if it is of reality, if it can stand the test of a fiery trial." We will be tried of God. And we as Christians can't think it's strange at the fiery trials and the tests that God allows in our lives. They come to test to see if your faith is real and to see if what you claim to have verbally is really what you have down on the inside. Psalm 139 and verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." See, it's not the outward sins that most of us struggle with. It's the hidden things in our heart. It's the hatred. It's the anger. It's the dishonesty. It's the things on the inner side of the man. The thing that the Spirit of God can only go in and begin to shine a light and begin to reveal to the heart of a man or a woman. Listen, brothers and sisters, our hearts, the Bible says, and the prophet said, they are desperately wicked. And who can know them? Your own heart will deceive you to make you think that you're a pretty good person, but you could be full of hatred. You could be full of malice. You could be full of murder. You could be full of some of the most vile and disgusting things. It's not what is on the outward. It's about what's in the heart of a man that matters to God. For man looks on the outward, and we are very limited in our ability to discern people because we judge people on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. David is saying, "Examine my heart, O God. Try me, O God. See if there be any way in me that's displeasing to you." God will try you. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, what? Temptations. When you're serving God, you've got an adversary. Amen. The devil ain't worried about those that aren't really serving God and desiring to serve God out of a pure heart. He's looking at that Christian that really has a love for God. And he's going to bring anything he can along your way to tempt you. Listen, temptation is not sin. The sin starts in our heart. It starts with a thought. It starts with, "I would like that." Temptation. Are you facing temptation? 1 Peter 1 and 7, that the trial of your faith. The trial of whose faith? Your faith. Abraham, I'm going to test you to see if you'll take your son, your only son, and offer him and give him to me as a sacrifice, a burnt offering. This man was willing to do it. He was willing to obey God, even when it hurt. But listen, the Bible says he believed that God, if God let him follow through with that, God was able to raise him up from the dead. That's the type of faith that Abraham had. Your faith and my faith throughout our Christian walk is going to have to stand trial. God will put it to the test. Being much more precious, our faith, than gold that perishes, though it be tried with what? Fire. Might it be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't think that you're not going to be tried. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. And God's going to prove to see if your confession of faith in Christ is real. You are going to go through things in your life that God's going to require of you. He's going to want some onlys. He's going to say, "I want this." He's going to put his finger on things in your life and say, "I am not going to let you, amen, have this any longer. I'm going to see if you're willing to give this to me willingly." Number two, the test. The test of trusting God when things seem impossible. "Take now thy only son and offer him for a sacrifice." They go 3 days' journey and they leave their servants with the animals. They take the fire, they take the wood, they take the knife. And Isaac asks a question, "Father, we've got the fire, we've got the knife, we've got everything for this sacrifice. But where is this sacrifice?" Verse 7 says, "And Isaac spake unto his father, Abraham, and said, My father," and he says, "I am here, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And closely listen to this. verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So that they went both of them together. Amen. How many of us know Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world? He is the Lamb of God. He was the one that was the ultimate sacrifice for all of humanity. Isaac is yet just a picture of Jesus Christ. God was giving us a shadow of things to come that he would do upon Calvary. Amen. Mount Calvary was the place where the Son of God was crucified and sacrificed for the sins of all of humanity. God is our provider. If we put our trust in God, he shall supply. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs. He doesn't supply our greed. Praise the Lord. It's easy to believe God when you have it. It's easy to believe God when you've got it in the bank. What are you in need of today that you don't have? And what type of price are you willing to pay to get it? I don't know where you're being tested in what area of your life. Maybe you've got physical affliction. And amen, maybe the doctors haven't been able to do a whole lot for you. But can I tell you that God will provide healing? Our God is a great physician. He is a healer. Amen. Maybe you need deliverance. Maybe you've got a family member that is not saved and they need salvation. God is a savior. He will save his people from their sins. I don't know what you need from him today, but the Bible declares that my God shall supply all of my needs. Hallelujah. What are you in need of today? And are you willing to pay the price of obedience to get it from God? Do you know that when people get incurable diseases, they're almost willing to pay anything? People will be willing to pay anything to live. They don't want to die. They want to live, brothers and sisters. What price are we willing to pay to truly live? Jesus said if a man's going to really experience life, he's got to first surrender his life to Christ. He's got to lay down his life. He's got to be willing to die. He's got to lose his life to gain life. What are we willing to do to gain life eternal from the Lord Jesus Christ? It's more than just a statement and a confession of, oh, I accept Jesus as my personal savior. I get so sick of hearing people say, I accepted him as my personal savior. But they're still living in sin. They're still living in all types of fornication and drunkenness and evil and wickedness. Listen, when my savior died upon that cross and he shed his precious blood, he saved me from my sin. He didn't save me in my sin. He came to deliver me out of my sin and bring me out of the clutches of death. Bring me from hell's domain. Bring me out of darkness and into the light. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to tell you, brothers and sisters, as a church, if you want life, if you want to know Jesus, you're going to have to lay down your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that is our reasonable service unto the Lord. If we're going to know life and know what true living is, we've got to be willing to give him our all. What is God trying you for? What is he requiring of you? What is he wanting out of you today? Father, where's the lamb? Isaac started looking for that lamb. We've got everything for the sacrifice. And the boy made sacrifice with his father before, I'm sure. He knew the protocol. He knew how it took place. He said, son, God will provide himself. Hallelujah. God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. According as his divine power hath given. It's a gift from God. All that we have comes from God. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Everything that we need is in Jesus Christ. If you need healing, it's in Jesus. If you need provision, it's in God. Everything that we need in the spiritual or the natural, God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. David said it this way in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many love the good shepherd today? How many know that he never leaves the righteous forsaken? Oh, he never forsakes us. He's always there. He's come through for you many a times. He's come through for me many a times. Aren't you glad today that he supplies every need? Oh, sometimes I in disbelief don't see it come when I want it to come because I stagger at the promise. I sometimes don't believe God fully with all my heart. But brothers and sisters, as I go on in this Christian walk, I'm realizing that he is my provider. He is my waymaker. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. He is my counselor. He is my savior. He is my everything. There comes a time in life where you realize I'm getting old and I'm about ready to exit this life and go into another life. And everything that I have is going to be left on this earth. Only one life shall soon pass, but that which is done for Christ is the only thing that will last. It's only about what we have in Christ that is eternal, and it will not, brothers and sisters, be destroyed, because everything that God gives us is life. For he is life. He is abundant life, more than enough. He is our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Hallelujah. Some of us have been facing some tests. Some of us have been going through some hard places. Some of us have been discouraged. We've been afraid. We've been fearful. Amen. I don't know what you're going through physically. I don't know what you're going through, church, mentally. But can I tell you, you've got a good shepherd. You've got a good shepherd. And he's watching over you. Bring your need unto the Lord. Bring your care unto your heavenly Father. He says, ask of me. Oh, come unto me. Look to me, for I am your God and I am your Jehovah Jireh. How can you know he's a healer unless you get sick? How can you know he's a deliverer until you need to be set free? How can you know unless you go through a trial that he reveals himself to you in a way that he says, I am, I am, I am, I am what you need me to be. I am the great I am. I'm going to end with the third point. The first test was God did tempt Abraham to give his only son. Then he had to be tested with provision. Can God supply? God shall supply himself. I don't need the stains of the world corrupting me. All I need is Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Because that's all that's going to matter, brothers and sisters, is when we stand before the Almighty and we stand before him, all that's going to matter is what we have in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In that man or woman's life, God is a provider. He's a way maker. His last test was the test of obedience. This is something that many in our generation, they want to preach a lot about faith. But true faith must be mixed with obedience. Don't tell me you have faith unless you're obeying the word of God. It's easy to say we're willing to lay down our life for Christ. But what about when he brings you into a season of a place where you really don't want to be? The blessings of obedience, staying faithful even when it's hard, to trust and to believe God. But when you get under the load, when God puts you in a place to say, I'm going to make you do something you don't want to do, you got to trust me though. You got to obey me. And then they came to the place that God told him of. How many of us know there's a place that God's bringing us? Abraham was brought to a certain mountain. It was a certain place that God had ordained him to sacrifice. There's a certain place that God wants to bring each and every one of us in our walk with him. They laid down the wood and Isaac was bound. The Bible says he was laid upon that altar. He wasn't fighting or kicking. He laid himself down, Isaac, willingly. Verse 10 of Genesis 22 and 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, had him all ready to sacrifice him and drive the knife right into him. And he took the knife, verse 10, to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. God will make a way if you trust him, if you believe him. Oh, I don't know what the future holds. Where's the sacrifice going to come from? Where is the lamb? God will provide himself a sacrifice. God is a covenant-keeping God, which means when God gives us a promise, when he gives us his word, he will come to pass and do that which he has promised to do for you. But you have got to be willing to obey him. And if you'll obey him, God will bless you. God will bless your household and God will bless your children. Abraham, and he said, here am I, verse 12, I'm quickly finishing. Said, lo, he said, don't slay the young lad. Don't kill him. I don't care what thoughts come to you and tell you you can't do it. Brothers and sisters, God would never ask us or require us something to do if he will not provide and make a way for you to do it and to fulfill, amen, what he's commanded you to do. Don't say I can't. He'll never ask you to do something that he will not give you the provision to fulfill that commandment. Trust and obey. Verse 12, listen closely. For now, God says, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. James said, be not hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word of God. Faith without works of obedience is dead in God. It is impossible to please God without true, genuine faith. True faith is obedience to the word of God. God doesn't want your Isaac. God wants your obedience.